Stasis, Winter Orb, Static Orb, Vorinclex, Voice of Hunger, Expropriate, Armageddon, Jockelhops, Ravages of War, Obliterate, Decree of Annihilation, Sunder, Urza, Lord High Artificer, and Cyclonic Rift. These are cards listed as the most salt-inducing cards in all of Commander, according to EDHREC.com. But one card, one that has had a massive impact in the CDH metagame, as part of one of the most powerful stacks decks you can see there, doesn't even make the list. Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John, and today we have another lesson from CEDH. CEDH is a metagame within the Commander format that sits at one extreme with highly consistent, highly efficient decks. Not all cards are equally powerful in all formats, or even in all metagames, but there are lessons to be learned from how people are using the most powerful cards available. And the card I want to talk about today is one of the defining cards in the modern CEDH metagame, and that card is Rule of Law. An enchantment for 2 and a white which reads, each player can't cast more than one spell each turn. While this card has a powerful impact on the CDH metagame, it doesn't see as much play at more casual tables. Our goal today is to understand why this is. And to understand it, let's look a little bit deeper at the card and how it sees play in CEDH. Rule of Law decks in CEDH are currently the de facto stacks decks. A Rule of Law deck will aim to land a Rule of Law and then breaking parity with the effect so that they are able to take multiple game actions when their opponents are limited severely by the presence of a Rule of Law on the table. Going back to our previous discussion on game actions, you might recall that we described three different primary game actions: moving a card from one zone to another, modifying the quality of another potential game action, or trying to modify the clock on a win condition. Rule of Law's effect is pretty basic here. It stops opponents from being able to move cards from their hand onto the stack if they have already done so once that turn, allowing you to essentially create a game economy where players have one game action per turn. They seek to maximize the game action they have to have the most effect on the board, but in metagames like CEDH, a lot of the cards are lower impact and more consistent and efficient. Much of what divides CEDH from the rest of the Commander metagame is the ability to chain multiple efficient spells together in a single turn, playing land, Mana Crypt, Mox Diamond, and then playing a 4-mana spell on turn 1. With Rule of Law's strong impact on the action economy, the card becomes even more powerful when you consider the common win conditions in CEDH. One of the most prominent is Thassa's Oracle and Demonic Consultation, which we've done a whole episode on before. This A plus B 2-card win condition allows you to win the game for blue, blue, black. However, it relies on you being able to cast multiple spells in a single turn. Another common win condition comes on the back of Underworld Breach, allowing you to loop certain spells in from your graveyard over and over again to get the win. You can see similar win conditions from the graveyard on combinations like Bomberman, which allows you to over and over cast Lion's Eye Diamond to generate infinite amounts of mana. Or Dramatic Reversal plus Isochron Scepter, again, potentially allowing you to tap and untap multiple pieces of mana over and over. So in CDH, not only does Rule of Law cripple some of the most powerful win conditions in the format, but it also stops players from being able to effectively make use of the action economy of the game. In particular, it hurts decks that are going all in on ad nauseum, where you would attempt to draw 10, 20, 30 cards at a very cheap cost relative to the other resources available in the game. Off the back of that ad nauseum, you would then chain together rituals and zero mana artifacts in order to play multiple cards in a turn, and from there, generate the resources you need to assemble your win condition, often off of the back of other tutors that would be found in black. Rule of Law makes this virtually impossible, and would be something of an emblematic view of the entire effect that Rule of Law has on the CDH metagame. Now, oftentimes, I've used these lessons from CEDH episodes in order to illustrate something that I find to be a very potent and effective tool from the CEDH metagame, which I believe should see more play in more casual metagames. Rule of Law may be the exception here, and what I want to do is use the difference between the more casual tables in Commander and the CEDH metagame to explain why that difference exists. We've already analyzed and looked at just how powerful Rule of Law can be within the context of a CEDH metagame. To review, it prevents players from being able to multi-spell consistently, and it blocks some of the most powerful win conditions that players have access to. I had mentioned earlier, but didn't go into greater detail on, decks that run Rule of Law often are going to be looking for ways to break parity on it. Well, how do you break parity on an effect that says all players can only cast one spell per turn? One option would be to play one of Rule of Law's multiple variants, such as Deafening Silence, a 1-white mana enchantment which allows players to cast more than one spell each turn only if they're casting non-creature spells. Or Aethersworn Canonist, 1 and a white for a 2-2 artifact creature human cleric which reads, each player who has cast a non-artifact spell this turn can't cast additional non-artifact spells. These cards would allow you to focus on a creature-based or artifact-based strategy, respectively, while overall holding your opponents back further than the cards hold you back. Another way CEDH players get around Rule of Law when they build around it is to have a way to spend mana and take game actions without necessarily casting spells. Kenrith the Returned King offers multiple sources for you to dump mana into to get multiple different effects, from pumping up your creatures with +1/+1 counters, to reanimating creatures out of your graveyard, to just plain drawing cards. All of them are great ways to spend your mana when you can only cast one spell per turn. In addition to each of these parity-breaking effects being relatively common build-arounds in the more casual metagames in Commander, more casual tables of Commander are defined by splashier, bigger spells, where a single spell being cast is going to have a much greater impact overall. With some of the most powerful win conditions in casual Commander revolving around the combat step, with overrun effects like Craterhoof Behemoth, often a single card is enough to close out the game with a powerful game-ending effect. And outside of the game-winning turns, at casual Commander tables, you are going to see very powerful, high mana value spells cast more frequently than you would in CEDH, where 4, 5, and 6 drops are fairly common spells to cast in order to gain additional value and overpower your opponents. That is not to say there is no reason to consider Rule of Law effects outside of the CEDH table. Particularly when they are completely one-sided, it can be a very potent tool to take advantage of. If you are on an artifact-based deck in white, you should consider running Aethersworn Canonist. But when considering this category of card, you should look at the critical turn of your metagame. Look to see when people are turning the corner from getting ready to being all set up. When are people able to multispell? In CEDH, people are often multispelling as early as turn 1 and turn 2, and an early Rule of Law can have a massive impact on the outcome of the game. Where at more casual tables, you're often seeing land go, land spell go for multiple turns. If a Rule of Law doesn't start having any significant impact until after turn 4, turn 5, turn 6, well, it's probably not going to be a good addition to your deck. If you want to lean into a more soft stack style of deck at these more casual tables, there are other approaches you may want to take. We've done episodes on how to stack responsibly before, but in general, you should be looking to see what axis of game actions you want to try to limit your opponents on, and then break parity on that. You can see our whole episode on how to stack responsibly for details on how to achieve this effect. You can also stay tuned for next week when I plan to have one of those more free-form episodes where I talk about one of my favorite stacks effects, one that disproportionately hurts the most powerful decks at a table while allowing more casual players to essentially play at their own pace without being unnecessarily affected by it, making it a uniquely low-heat index card for you to take advantage of. And the best part? There's a whole category of them. Stay tuned for next week when we talk about it. But until then, I want to hear from you. Do your experiences with Rule of Law effects outside of CEDH match what I have described? Have you even tried this type of card at a more low-power table? Let us know. You can leave us a comment on YouTube, where we are Gemstone Mine Podcast. You can add us on Twitter, where we are at GemstoneMineMTG. Or you can send us an email, where we are GemstoneMinePodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm John, and this is Gemstone Mine.